Hello, and welcome to The Parting Shot, your dose of everything pop culture. I'm H. Allen Scott. Sometimes I have to tell myself, you have a job to do, stop freaking out, but then I get lost in my head thinking, you're about to talk to an Oscar winner. This person has an Oscar at home. Holy hell, a real Oscar! Well, today's episode is one of those days where I'm kind of freaking out. Today I'll be joined by Oscar-winning actor Gary Oldman. We met to chat about his incredible Apple TV Plus series, Slow Horses, now in its third season with the fourth season already filmed and ready to be aired soon. It's based on Mick Herron's book series, and Oldman plays Jackson Lamb, the disheveled and likely intoxicated head of a UK division of security agents who have screwed up but haven't been fired yet. Even though the series is very much a drama, it has a slight comedic edge to it thanks to the incredible writing of Will Smith. Not that Will Smith, the British Will Smith. He was a comedian. Honestly, you got to give this series a watch. Now, if I'm talking to Gary Oldman, you better believe that I'm going to bring up Harry Potter. And Oldman has a really funny story to share about that. It's actually really cute. But on that, I had to talk to him about how the Harry Potter franchise was like a very big shift for the actor. Because before Harry Potter, he had mainly done just adult roles. I kind of geeked out a little bit also when I had to bring up Air Force One. I mean, the amount of times the line, get off my plane, goes through my head is kind of embarrassing. I kind of freaked out a little bit on Gary Oldman. I think I kept my cool, but I'll let you be the judge of that. Go on and grab a snack because I'll be right back with Gary Oldman.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Slow Horses, what I love about it is that it's this season is so strong and there's so much like about it that it just continues to get better. What about the show continues to excite you?
Well, as you know, the show is based on books by Mick Herron. And so this world and these people that we inhabit is, I mean, totally out of his imagination. And the first season was the first book, as good as it was. So I think as the books progress, he gets more familiar with these people and can have more fun with them. Mm-hmm. And they get better. The joy for me is not only is Lamb is just, you know, a delicious character to play, we get all the same people back. The crew come back, makeup, hair, costume for each season. We've got season four in the can, same group of people. The actors are wonderful and the most lovely bunch you could ever hope to be around. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very fond of them, very attached to them. So it is like sort of, it's not like, oh, God, oh, another season, you know, we've got to go back and do the thing. Yeah. It really is, oh, God, yeah, we get to go back and I can't wait to see everyone.
Yeah.
So that we're lucky in that respect that we're unique. We have one director. Mm-hmm. Who essentially is making a 6-hour movie.
Yeah.
But we're not switching up the director every two episodes or whatever. So we have one overview. We have one vision. Mm-hmm. So we have that captain, you know, at the helm. and a terrific team of riders, mainly headed by Will Smith, who's our main rider. And so it's sort of like a family.
Yeah.
We all get together again. And I think that's, you know, above and beyond the fact that the world is interesting and the material is really good. I feel very privileged and very lucky to be working with this group of people.
Yeah. And your character, I mean, Jackson Lamb is just one of those characters that is kind of a mess in a wonderful way and is like just sort of really unique and different. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's not something I wouldn't expect from you because you've done every character under the sun, but it is a really interesting character. What about, and he probably shouldn't be doing this line of work, which is what I love that he's doing this line of work. What about him did you respond to?
Well, I think it's interesting with someone like him. He's in, but he's out. It's that thing of being really very good at something in a world that you absolutely despise.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting in playing him. He gives the impression that he really doesn't care, but somewhere inside him, he probably cares more than most.
Mm-hmm.
He would get the award for the worst boss.
Yeah.
Yet is deeply loyal to the team. And in season three, obviously, mm-hmm. it's one of our own.
Yeah.
So the story in that sense is more personal for them. He gives River a hard time. And that's partly because there's all the baggage from the grandfather, but sees potential in River. Maybe sees a little bit of himself, who he once was. As the books go on, and if Apple are happy to keep us on the air, you know, little pieces of Lamb start to emerge
mm-hmm.
and come out. And he really was a wonderful, he really was a very, very good agent and has gone through sort of hell and back.
Yeah.
So he's very dysfunctional, deeply psychologically scarred from the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and very damaged, and yet still manages to get himself off the couch and off a bender and come in and and care.
Yeah.
You know, even though he would like to give you the impression that he really doesn't. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I love about
your
performance as this character is, you know, I followed your career and you haven't really done that much television outside of two of my favorite appearances you've made, which is Tracy Takes On, which is a deep cut, but I loved it. And Friends, of course, which everyone knows.
Yeah.
But you hadn't really done much television before. So I love to be able to see you on a regular basis really grow a character. We haven't really ever seen that in your career, which is kind of exciting. What was it about the storytelling possibilities of an episodic show that really sort of thrilled you? It was sort of a new adventure for you in a way.
I like long form TV. I'm going way back. You know, watching a soap opera like Upstairs, Downstairs.
Yeah.
You know, when I was young. You remember Bride's Head?
Yes, yes.
I mean, so I, Claudius, you know, so I've been watching it from a kid, really. And then this whole new era of TV. There was always that sort of The snobbery of, I'm a film actor.
Yeah.
You're in TV.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, you're beneath me. Mm-hmm. You know, there was that sort of thing that used to go on. And of course, that really doesn't happen anymore. And you will see some of the best writing and acting and cinematography and set design.
Yeah.
In your home, you know, on your TV. So I love I've always been a fan of long form, and really with a movie, you get one shot.
Yeah.
and you've got to tell it in 2 hours or whatever. And you often find that character is sacrificed for story. You know, Cassavetes would believe that, you know, that behavior is plot.
Yeah.
You know, character, narrative is character.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that gets sacrificed because you have a 2 hour window or whatever it is to tell a story. So and I have kind of revisited characters, I guess, with Potter and Batman,
yeah.
But to come back and have yet another go, sort of another go round at it, you know, he doesn't, I mean, Lamb, for me, what's interesting is responding to the various scenarios that come up.
Yeah.
Lamb essentially is set, the die is set.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be going to the writers going, can you give me some more character development? Or
yeah.
what if Lamb falls in love? Mm-hmm. Can I have a romantic relationship? Or, and you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's sort of, in a lovely way, he's flatline.
That's what's exciting about him, I think.
And I think that's, as an audience, if you like the show, when a new season comes out, it's you want to return mm-hmm. and reconnect to that grumpy, unhygienic, flatulent,
yes,
yep. boozy slob that you like, insulting everyone.
Yep.
I mean, that's the that's the fun of him, I think, you know.
Oh, totally. And it's Will Smith. I mean, what I love about Will Smith being a part of this is I started in comedy. Comedy's where my love is, and Will, of course, also started in comedy. And you kind of see that in his writing, which I find I'm obsessed with him as a writer because I love, it's very much a drama. I mean, it's very much like there's a mystery drama, like this drama, but there's still elements of Lamb that is actually kind of almost like Archie Bunker-ish in a way. There's a level of sort of like being ornery that comes out in the character that I love because it's funny at times too. Like what was Will Smith's writing particularly that you enjoyed so much?
Well, I think now, like I said, the template is all there with Mick's books, you know, and they're very funny.
Yeah.
And he has come up, Mick has come up with these characters. But I think that I have a really good, Will's, do you know him personally?
I don't know him personally, but I've read
work. He's a lovely man. He is the most adorable guy. He really is a terrific fella. And we have a good, very good relationship. And the more familiar he is with us, mm-hmm. and our voice, he'll think of a line and he go, I could just see Gary saying this.
Yeah.
Or this is a perfect line for Jack. Mm-hmm. So I think that and he's also with Will, and I can't speak to other people because this is my first real time in a show, so I have no previous experience, but Will is pretty much there every day. And he's on set, and they really, this team can work on the fly. So you could go in, you could be in a situation, you could be in a rehearsal, a line might not be sitting right, and then you can go to Will and say, there's something here, can we cut that, can we change that? And then he goes away and he comes up with something very quickly. So that's also, that's very beneficial to have the writer mm-hmm. at the monitor.
Yeah.
There pretty much most days. Yeah.
That also speaks to his background in comedy, because that's what comedy writers do. You're always thinking on the fly and you're always thinking of different possibilities of how to say something. And it's
yeah. He was in stand up, wasn't he?
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
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 And he wrote Veep.
Yep.
Was involved with. Yeah.
Yeah. Really great, really talented. Well, the other thing that I love about the show is I'm a big fan of British mystery dramas. Like I always have been. I mean, Broadchurch, like Vera. I mean, there's so many shows that like I do genuinely love. And I feel like the UK in general, UK creatives have figured out a formula for mystery drama that we in the US don't understand, because I think we're afraid of complicated characters, like troubled characters at the helm of shows, because I find a lot of like our Law and Order and everything, we want heroes. We want epic heroes here. Whereas in the UK, it's like, no, we want a drunk that probably has a complicated past. And it's nice. So is there something about sort of the British sensibility that makes this show uniquely different?
You know, I've lived in America now for a very long time. And when I first came here, there's that, like, if you said to an American, oh, I'm really going to get around to writing that book. Mm-hmm. I've got this idea for a novel. Invariably, an American might say, oh, that's great. Good for you. Yeah. Really? Oh, I love that. What's it about? If you said that to a British person, they would say, I'm really going to get around to writing that book. And they go, really? Must you?
Yeah.
It's a different, you know, a critic pointed out, they thought it was very funny that Duffy, the head of the dogs, is dipping a chunky Kit Kat into a cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's so British.
Yeah.
And now that would connect with a UK audience, yeah, more so than a
US audience. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just that thing of an American kid would look at a Rolls Royce and go, wow, man, one day I want to get me one of those. In England, we'd key it.
Yeah.
And go, flash bastard.
I think I'm more British, I have to admit. Even in my comedy, I think I'm more British. I don't know.
But it's just that. It's just that sort of, I don't know. It's in the first season, I bang on the floor and I thump on the floor to get River to get their attention. And there's a moment where I think I'm drying my hands and Cartwright comes in. And I expect it to be, I expect it to be someone else, yeah. Sid. And he comes in and I look at him and I go, oh, Christ. And that's the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
Oh, Christ.
It's great.
It's the sort of the rolling of the eyes and the, it's all just a little bit. It's just a little bit grimy, isn't it?
Yeah, and I love it. But I mean, one of the things that I love about you is that, and this is just my background with you, so this is a very British show and you're very much like a British iconic actor. However, in my upbringing, I only have two more questions for you, but I have to ask you about this one, because I grew up with my father obsessed with your performance in JFK, and then my whole family became obsessed with Air Force One. And then with Oppenheimer, you played Truman. So like you have a history of playing either not liking presidents or playing complicated presidents. Like you actually have an American sensibility to you for us Americans. So like, first off, I want to know, with Air Force One, do people still stop you about that? Because I watch it way too much.
No, but it does play a lot. It's always on. Isn't it like a cable thing or whatever? It plays a lot. What have I've assassinated a president,
yep,
or supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it depends on who you talk to.
And then played one, British Prime Minister.
Yeah, won an Oscar for that one. Pretty good.
Yeah. yeah, so.
You've done the leadership thing. And for when you played Truman, I have to say, I'm from Missouri and Truman is everywhere in Missouri. I mean, it's like I grew up knowing everything about Harry Truman. So when I saw you in Oppenheimer, I was like, yeah, Gary Oldman needs to be the one to play Truman. He's the only one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun really to come in and I know a little bit, you know, I know a little bit about him, but you know, like I was saying earlier, with the movie or with the, you know, that is just a day's work. It's one scene. You have to kind of let you got to let the audience know who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get one quick stroke,
mm-hmm.
of the brush,
yeah.
you know? So that was kind of interesting and quite challenging because you have nothing before or after.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, here's this one particular moment in time between these two people. But I do believe, I think it is true that he actually did say, I never ever want to see that crybaby again.
Yeah, it's been reported, which, I mean, it sounds like a Missouri thing to say. I feel like Missourians are very British too. They're very direct. So maybe.
Yeah, he strikes me as someone who was very forthright, wasn't he?
Yes. Truman? I mean, I didn't know him, but I've heard that, definitely. Well, and then
that's probably his appeal.
Yeah, I think so. And also probably
at the time. Yeah.
Probably why people were critical of him too. Well, my last question for you, and this is very important because it's one of the things that when I saw you in the Harry Potter franchise as Sirius, and I had been following you, like I said, as a little kid when my dad was obsessed with JFK. So I knew you in a very different context than Harry Potter. And
yeah.
When I saw you in Harry Potter, I thought, oh, wow, these kids are going to see this amazing actor in Harry Potter and they're going to be stopping this actor on the street. And then they're going to want to go watch his other films and they're going to be very confused about the actor playing.
Or disappointed.
Yeah. Have you, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I know kids stop you, but when you did Harry Potter, because you hadn't really done any kids fare at that point, was it like a different type of reaction than you had never really received before from like kids in particular?
Well, my fan base went from 36 to 6, you know, overnight. But I'll give you an anecdote. I was at a camping ground. I was camping, mm-hmm. with my kids. And I ran into my dentist. And he said, oh, I'm here with my son. He said, he's over there. And it was like this little campfire.
Mm-hmm.
And a bench with all these kids sitting on it. And he said, oh, my son's over there. He said, he's absolutely obsessed with Harry Potter and Sirius Black. And if you go over, you know, you have to say hello to him. And I said, who is he? And he said, oh, his name's Tom. And he's the one right at the end. So I went, okay, on my way, wherever I was going, I said, I'll say hello. And I went over and I, like, tapped this kid on the shoulder and he looked up like that. And I went, hey, Tom, I said, I'm Sirius Black. And a kid at the end of the bench said to me, no, you're not. You're James Gordon.
So, really puts you in check, doesn't it?
You're Commissioner Gordon. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes when they don't readily recognize you, and then they realize that it's you. Sometimes it's the look on their faces is absolutely, it's priceless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cinematic phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one-off. I mean, there's never, ever going to be,
mm-hmm.
anything like it again. And so I feel very lucky. Yeah, I feel very lucky, very privileged to be sort of a part of it.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, Gary,
they just killed me off too quick. That was it.
I think everyone thought that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I really do appreciate it. It's been an honor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, what do you think? Did I keep my cool? I think I did. Maybe I did. Probably not. Who cares? Okay, let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything. And leave a little rating and review wherever you're listening to this episode. And for the latest news and podcasts, head to newsweek.com and follow Newsweek on all the social platforms. And while you're there, subscribe to my newsletter for the culture. It's great. It's fun. You'll love it. Until then, watch something fun and have a great day.